working for the Witch of the Waste, are you?
I would never work for that witch. She's the one who... If I ever get my hands on that witch, I'm gonna wring a fat neck.
Finish the breakfast.
A confident young woman is cursed with an old body by a spiteful witch. Her only chance of breaking the spell lies with a self-indulgent yet insecure young wizard and his companions in his legged walking castle. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining once again. The theater is open. This is Extras and Epilogues. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. And tonight we are talking about the Studio Miyazaki great of Hayao Ghibli film, Howl's Moving Castle. Peak anime, 100% E for effort. Excited to be here. With me, of course, my co-host for the evening, a bottle of Old Smoky Gatlinburg, Tennessee peanut butter whiskey. And along with that, my good friend, Double H.
I don't know if this is going to pick up on the mic. I'm just going to make the dog sound. Yeah. His name is Heen.
Yeah, he's a dog. He's best part of the movie, I thought, but we'll get to that here in a second.
That's correct.
With us tonight, someone, as we wrap up Animation April, this is the last one, and what a disappointing month it's been.
Heen!
No, I take the blame for this one. I take the blame for this one. Because nothing we watched could be as bad as Mad God, and that was my pick.
Mad God is easily the worst thing we've watched on this show. I mean, yes. Without question.
Now, okay, yes. Lindsay Wolfgang, by the way, before I get to a point, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Yes, I am here.
Yes, I want to say something, because I was thinking about this the other day. We ragged on Mad God a lot, as is, you know, deserved. But I think a couple of shows ago when we reviewed it, I said it was the worst film we've reviewed on the show.
Yes.
That's not true. Fateful Findings is still the worst film we've reviewed on the show. This was Mad God was my least favorite. I want to draw a line there, because I think Mad God offers more artistically than Fateful Findings. Fateful Findings is low budget, poorly acted, poorly written. Everything about it screams amateur. Mad God didn't scream amateur to me. It was a more competent film. It was just a more confusing and plainly, I just hated it more. But I still think Fateful Findings is the worst film we've ever reviewed.
I don't know, man. Fateful Findings is bad, but at least I can pretty much follow it. There are definitely parts where I don't understand what's going on. Right. But when it comes to Mad God, Mad God seems like just the weirdest collection of, here's the weirdest shit I can throw at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And that's what I said about it on the show, is it's a great art display. It's not a great movie.
No, and I say about that too.
Qualifies as a movie, so I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I said it before. I would 1,000 times over rather watch Fateful Findings again than I would ever watch Mad God again.
I've been put it this way: I've watched clips of Neil Breen. I've never just sat there watching clips of Mad God, but I still think I don't know. That's a hard one. That's a barn burner. That's a head scratcher. But we're not talking about that tonight. we're talking about Mad Castles. Howl's Moving Castle on the show. This is Lindsay, is this one of your favorites?
It is my third favorite of the Miyazaki films.
Remember that, kids. So, Howl's Moving Castle, released on November 20th, 2004, 20 years ago now, almost. Directed and written by Hayao Miyazaki, co-founder of Studio Ghibli, but based on a story by an American.
No, she's
British.
But she's still white, right?
I don't know. I legitimately don't know. I can't remember what her name is. I had it written down at one point in time on here. Diana Wynne Jones. Look, frankly, the image from Wikipedia is not confirming or denying that for me. Is she her picture?
Does she look very bird-like?
No, she kind of looks like
the Witch of the Waste.
There it is. The half measure of the Witch of the Waste. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like on the halfway plan.
Okay.
There.
Well, in that case, anyway, not important anyway. Starring in the English version, at least. And this was actually difficult for me because I was trying to pinpoint who played what. And every time I looked up the cast list, it was always the Japanese version.
And it shows like everything.
It shows everybody.
So many different languages. Yeah.
But yeah. In the English version. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the easy one is Christian Bale.
Yes.
Christian Bale's the easiest one because you can hear his voice, and he's so, obviously Hal.
There were two voices that I picked out. Well, three, because Billy Crystal's easy. Christian Bale, if you had never told me, Christian Bale I got, and Lauren Bacall I got. I recognized Lauren Bacall's voice. The rest of them I had to look up, and it's a good cast. Emily Mortimer's in it, Gene Simmons, obviously Christian Bale, Lauren Bacall, Billy Crystal, Jenna Malone I know was in this film. Yeah. The guy from
Josh Hutcherson.
There it is, from Hunger Games. That's how I always remember him.
But of course, he's in it as a little kid.
He's like 5 years old when he recorded this film.
Right, you'd never be able to tell the difference.
You can hear it though once you know that the name's there. It's like, yeah, no, that's definitely the Young Down voice.
Yeah, yeah. Runtime 119 minutes, almost 2 hours long, and it felt like it, but not in a horrible way. Like this was not a oh god. Not like Mad God, where every 5 minutes felt like 3 hours. This was easier to swallow.
I thought it was too long, but I can't specifically point at a here's what you should have gotten rid of situation. Yeah. I do think there were times that I thought, man, this scene is going on for a really long time. Like,
yeah. A lot of Miyazaki films are like that, though. Like, yes. they're good, but they always feel long.
The thing that frustrated me the most about that is that there were scenes early on where I thought, okay, I get it. Let's go on to the next thing. Why is this 2 hours long? Does this just keep happening? And then you get to the end, and it seems like when there's about 10 minutes left, they went, oh, shit, we better wrap this up. Let's go. Yeah. Let's get it moving. And I thought, boy, you could have devoted so much more time to those things than just, 14 minutes of...
No, I needed her cleaning more. Budget versus box office.
The old women walking up the steps for 40 minutes, and the guys can't help them because they've been told not to.
That was a
part
test
of that is kind of Miyazaki's process.
He hates old women.
No, he writes the story as they go. A lot of times, like he is usually the one that will storyboard the entire film, and as they're going through things, he'll change things along the way. So,
but he's the one.
The process isn't always done completely in one shot. Like it's always continuing. Okay.
Well, compared to Fallout, it's not great.
I would like to introduce him to the concept of editing.
Well, he edits the films, too. He also does the soundtrack, and hey, you know what, though? Regardless of what we say, we may be in the minority here, at least two of us. Critical reception. Budget versus box office. $24 million budget versus $236 million box office. That's a hit. That's a hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big hit. Shit ton of money.
Yeah.
I mean, we went and saw this in theaters when it came out originally, so.
I thought I had seen it until I watched it, and then I realized I'd never seen it.
I dragged you to it.
Wait, I did see it in theaters?
Yes, I dragged you to it.
I fell asleep.
Because it didn't get a release here till like 2006 or something like that.
Lindsay, I didn't know you till 2012.
That's not true.
That my timeline might be off. Critical reception.
Your timeline is very off.
87% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 out of 10, 82% score on Metacritic, universal acclaim. This is a beloved movie. I think most of Miyazaki's films are beloved. I think he is probably the most respected and beloved director, I guess you would say, in anime in Japan. He's certainly the only name I know. I know exactly two names from Japan. I know Hayao Miyazaki and Naoko Takeuchi. Am I mispronouncing that, Lindsay? Yeah.
No, you got it.
That's it. I also know...
it's not even remotely true because you know Shigeru Miyamoto.
I also know Shinsuke Nakamura, Kaz Hayashi, Yuji Nagata.
But in animation.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Hideo Kojima.
Hideo Kojima. Steven, hold on. Let's get Steven in here. See what he thinks.
No.
Steven, really quick. What do you think of Hideo Kojima?
He's a little overrated, but I still like him.
There you go. Thank you, Steven.
Thanks, Steven.
Yeah. One of my favorite bits on the show is to pull Steven in randomly.
That's what we get for being on while gaming while we're recording.
That's correct.
This is an anime film. Let's talk about the movie. This is an anime film. And I used to love anime at one point. I really did. I watched all of it. I watched in the Toonami era, especially Sailor Moon, Outlaw Star, and not just the stuff they played on there. New Dominion Tank Police, others, Vampire Hunter D, Curse of the Yoma. I mean, I loved anime back in those days, and I thought anime was just the coolest shit in the world. And to me, now especially, anime, I'm not a fan. I'm not going to diss it. I'm not going to sit here and talk shit on it, because I think that would be... that would be wrong. Just because it's not my thing doesn't mean it's not someone else's thing.
I'm losing my taste for it at this point, too.
It's just not
my
style.
Every now and again, something will hit me, but like so much of it, I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. But again, I'm not going to say it's terrible, because different strokes for different folks.
It's not grabbing our attention.
But even in those days, and still to this day, I thought Miyazaki was in a league of his own. I always thought that he was like the Steven Spielberg of anime. This guy was the creator. He had the top-notch, well-animated, well-written, serious, fantastical tales. And the problem is I had never watched his films. I based this reputation on what I saw in the media and the way I heard other people talk about it. At this point, I have now seen a few Miyazaki films. And I will say this. I think his work is high and above anything else I've seen in anime. I think it's better. It's more mature. It's not the anime, you know, pretty boys killing each other and three episodes for one fight, etc., etc. I'm not into anime, but I think Miyazaki's in a league of his own. That doesn't mean he's perfect, and that doesn't mean his films are perfect, but I see the hype. I get why people love him so much. This film, I want to say, I don't remember watching it the first time, but I do remember Princess Mononoke, and I remember Kiki's Delivery Service. Pretty much anything Lindsay has made me watch. There are some that I still haven't seen, like The Cat Returns.
I guarantee you don't remember half of the ones, because I know I dragged you to see The Secret World of Eireti and Ponyo.
Bullshit.
Yeah, no.
You're mistaking me with a different ex-boyfriend, because I have never seen any of these films.
No, I dragged you to both of those.
I called nonsense.
To be fair, I had never seen The Cat Returns until a couple years ago.
You dragged me to Cars 2, and I never forgave you for that.
I did, and I apologized for that one. I apologized for Cars 2.
Because
it was bad.
Is Howl's Moving Castle better than Cars 2? Yes.
Yes.
So, I assume, is getting, you know, a terminal disease. Yeah.
I mean, Pixar doesn't even talk about Cars 2 anymore, like at all. Even when it came out, they avoided it.
So here's one thing I want to start by talking, and I brought this up for a reason. Probably the thing I hate most in anime is, and I know people are going to give me shit for this, anime is visually gorgeous. Even anime I don't like, I love the visuals of anime, but I've always hated the writing and I've hated the acting. And the voice acting. I think the writing in this film is solid, if not unspectacular, but it's at least it's mature. This is not one of those. This is not one of those things that makes you go, "Oh, was this meant for 14-year-old edgelords?" It's not. This has a little bit more of a serious, mature tone. Do you not agree with that? You don't agree with that?
No, hell no.
You definitely have not watched enough anime.
No, and I will not.
Nor should you.
That constitutes the script right there.
But this is, before we get to the writing part of it, because I want to bring, God damn it, I'm going to make my point. and that is, how do you feel about the voice acting in these movies? This one, I know, Hunter, this is the only one you've seen of Miyazaki. And the reason I bring it up is because they always say, and we've said it before too, there's a difference between having a voice actor versus an actor who does voiceover. It's hard to do voice acting. It's not an easy task. You can be a fantastic actor and not be a good voice actor. So Miyazaki films, for the most part, get quote unquote real actors, visual actors, to voice their characters. How do you think they do, at least with this film, because you can't compare it to anything else, the voice acting, where do you land on that? I want to get both of your opinions. I'll start with Hunter.
I honestly thought the voice acting was one of the strongest parts about this movie.
Okay.
The script is not, but the voice acting is. And that's something that I think I come back to pretty regularly with not just voice acting, but acting in general. You can only do so much with what you've been given.
Yeah.
Some people are very good at making chicken salad out of chicken shit, to use a wrestling term. And while I don't think this is any like paragon of, oh man, I would hold this movie up against, you know, some other incredible examples of voice acting or just acting in general. I do think that it is, again, one of its strong points. One thing I will not heavily criticize this movie on is that I thought, not to stray too far away from what you're asking, but I thought the visuals were great. And I thought that honestly, the sound design in general, not just the voice acting, but all the Foley, all of the score, like the score and the soundtrack, I thought all of that was pretty great.
I always love scores in these films. I can't think of one that I haven't liked the score in.
Yeah. Yeah, all of that stuff was pretty great. I will give you that decidedly most of these people are not voice actors. Lauren Bacall absolutely did not make her mark as a voice actor. But I think they did a good job with what they were given. And frankly, it was not something that bumped me for this movie in particular. Again, the things that they were saying sometimes, yes. The script in general, yes. But the acting, I did not have any real issue with.
See, I feel like the part of the reason that, and I agree with you, I thought the voice acting was good in this. I want to get Lindsay's opinion too, but I want to say that I think part of the reason the voice acting is so good in this is because if you watch enough anime, one thing that you will notice is that everyone is so goddamn over the top. They are so extreme. Well, Hunter, we joke about it with Final Fantasy all the time. Just the basic, huh?
Yeah.
You know, just the...
Yeah. Well, Shannon, I mean, honestly, how can you expect him to go on living now that his hair is a slightly different color?
I've been there, brother.
He's an idiot.
I've been there, done that.
Oh, my God.
The voice acting in this.
So stupid.
They got to be more reserved. And I think that's why it sounds better. It's because they weren't overacting everything. Now, they did overact in some parts, like with the hair thing. But when you overact a little bit, I think that it doesn't make it better, but it makes it stand out and it doesn't insult the rest of your performance. Everybody in this was a little bit more subdued. They were reserved. They talked like real people for the most part. They didn't talk like anime characters. And that's one thing I really liked. Lindsay, what do you think before I get too far off on the different topic?
I agree. Miyazaki films are always more subtle for the most part. Sometimes I feel like it feels a little bit awkward, but I think that comes more into the scripting from the translations on the original. Cause like they want to stay relatively true to the original script. And sometimes you just can't make that flow properly.
Yeah, there is, and there will always be a separation of Western culture and Eastern culture. That, you know, the way that they perform, the way that they write, the way that they animate, stuff like that, will not always resonate well with us because we are different. And that's just the way it is. I'm sure you could probably show a group of Japanese people Tombstone and they would be like, what? And we're over here rooting, tooting mad, saying, well, you're an idiot. This is, no, Shannon, you got to calm down, buddy. You're not that drunk yet.
I don't know, man. I don't know that's, I get what you're getting or what you're going
and,
for
and
here.
I just, that's an example, you know.
Well, I'm saying, to be fair, though, a lot of the movies like what you're talking about, like big bombastic over the top action movies, that's what plays well in Asian countries, especially China, not necessarily Japan, but China made Transformers into $1 billion franchise before we did.
The same thing with Warcraft. Warcraft did bad in the United States, but it did major points over in China. That's why so many companies, you know, that's why so many companies placate to China. Because they know there's big bucks over. That's why John Cena.
Why John Cena learned Mandarin.
Yes,
there it is.
Let's say. We talked about the dog earlier and how the dog was the best character, and I stand by that. But you know who I say is second, and this review is going to be all over the place because I've got mental issues. Do you know who I think the second best character in the film is?
Hang on.
I want you to take a guess. Legitimately,
I want to as well. Is it Markle?
Which one's Markle? The kid.
The little kid.
Hell no, it's Turnip Head. Love Turnip Head.
You just like that he grins and hops around.
He was
great.
He just hopped around. He was happy. He was happy all the time. Every time he popped on the scene, I was like, great. I liked him.
Until at the end, they were like, oh, it turns out you just had to kiss him. And he's that prince that's been missing. You remember that plot point we didn't follow up on at all?
Oh, okay.
And apparently only true love will make that happen. Yeah, and true love is the only thing that'll make that happen. Although she's not actually in love with you, so you should go home and stop the war. I will do that. Fuck off.
To which it shows the woman stupid. Who was apparently responsible for the war who says, well, call it all off. And I said that to Lindsay. All right, fuck it.
He did it.
Let's just get into it. Why not? Here's the thing I didn't like about the film. the plot. That's it.
It is a little convoluted.
So I liked so much of this film. Legitimately, there were little things that I loved about this film. I loved the idea of it. It was very whimsical. I loved his castle that you could swap the thing on the door and it would take you to different places. That shit was cool. I loved that. I really did. I even liked the idea of the flying machines in the war. The problem is they didn't expand on that at all. They kept talking about how bad war is and, oh, they're killing innocent people. But the whole, when the movie was over, I asked Lindsay, what were they talking about with the war? They kept bringing it up, but it was such a non-point. Yeah.
Why were they fighting?
Yeah. And how could they just call?
No.
And this motherfucker.
The whole problem is that the war started because the prince went missing.
Because they never make that clear. They made it sound like those were separate things. Like, right. He went missing, and also there's a war.
Yeah.
So and if you weren't paying attention when those random background characters were talking about the prince vanishing, you would have missed it completely and been like, what?
Okay, but you said, Lindsay's on trial now. You said, when we watched this, that Solomon was the one that turned him into that, right?
That's what I was assuming. I don't know for a fact that that's the case, but like if it was her playing the game and the prince is already going back, that made me be like, okay, she's the one who turned him into it to pit these two kings against each other so that she can get Howl to come listen to her.
I need clarification on that, because if that's true, then she herself at the end literally said, go get the prime ministers. It's time for us to end this silly war. What? Fuck that. If I'm this...
idiotic war.
Yeah. If I'm in the kingdom.
Not how the king acted. So.
Yeah, he's a moron.
Did it
but
surprise
like,
you?
But if
that
I'm the other
wizard is the one actually pulling the strings?
No, if I'm in the other kingdom and they've been bombing my people and then she just suddenly out of nowhere goes, you good? We're good. I'd be like, fuck no, we ain't good.
Well, that's where they make it the whole, this was just a misconception. Here's your prince back. We didn't have him. He was just missing. There's no reason for us to be fighting now.
If you think about what it's like to live as a normal person in the world of fucking Avengers, it's awful.
Right.
Like you're just trying to go to work here in Grand Central Station, and all of a sudden, this alien, like, Ski-Doo comes flying through the wall above your head and lands on your wife. Like, what are you supposed to do about that?
It's that SNL skit where they're talking about Batman, and they're like, you know, Batman crashed the helicopter in the front lawn. I guess that's just there. You know,
that's just there now.
Yeah, I there was so much about this film that I liked, and what I didn't like was the plot, because liked the characters.
It's confusing.
I liked the characters. I thought Christian Bale's character was weird but interesting.
Howl is the most edgelordy motherfucker
that
I've seen in a movie in a while. When that fucker goes to that little dial-up door you were talking about and's like, hey, I'll be back, and literally just fucking flies away. I cannot. With his little fucking coat flapping behind him the whole time, and then all of a sudden he's hideous because his hair is a different color. That dude was the epitome. Do not cut yourself on him. He needs a warning label.
We'll see, but at least they called him out on it at least. They didn't portray him as the super cool guy. They repeatedly said, like, oh no, he's in a mood and stuff like that. So like it's like when Asa hates on Peggy and he's like, I hate how petty and she is and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but that's the point. That's the humor of the character. Is that she's that way.
I mean, I get that that's the point of the character. It still doesn't make me like him.
No, and that's like, fair. That's fair. I'm not going to try to convince you to like him. Because when I saw him with the blonde hair, I told Lindsay, I was like, I thought he had black hair. She's like, just wait. And I was like, uh-oh. Something tragic's going to happen to do this. Oh, she switched his dyes? Oh, okay.
She bought the wrong box.
Also, let's... All right. So the war was stupid. The war was dumb. It was pointless. It was such a good plot point that they wasted.
I'm going to do this thing I did when we watched, I forget which one it was, the point. No, it was when we watched The Last Unicorn. There are a couple times that I messaged Shannon during this, and I won't screenshot it, but I will read it, where I said, the theme is war is bad. Okay, but how do you know? Because Howl said, this war is terrible. That's it. That's the only reason I know.
Other things that I didn't like. God. Hey, if you like something, you have to tear it apart in front of the person that loves it.
I can totally take criticism on things I like. You can tear it apart as much as you want.
Other things I didn't like that I really thought, why? was, and Lindsay had to clarify this for me, and even she was fucking grasping at straws. I started calling her Miss Fantastic because she was stretching so hard. I was like, and Hunter called it out too in the message to me. What is with her old curse? Why does she, like, what chooses when she turns young versus old?
I said, this old age curse really just comes and goes as it pleases.
Yes.
Again, it's a combination of, like, confidence and being true to herself, I'm pretty sure.
So was she being true to herself when she was asleep?
Well, she wasn't judging herself because she wasn't conscious.
Legitimately.
I'm drinking.
When I was doing the notes for this story, for this show, one thing that I did read was that, and I didn't put it in the trivia, I don't think. I did put part of it in the trivia. So in the novel that the movie is based on, we find out, and she finds out, Sophie finds out that she is actually a witch, that she has her own, like, set of powers. And they hint at this a couple of times in the movie. Like, Markle asks her more than once, are you sure you're not a witch?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you sure you're not capable of this stuff? So in the novel, it goes as far as she has her own fire demon, and she's the one who beats the Witch of the Waste, like, on her own. And apparently she shows some ability to kind of control it. Like, she's not always able to control it, and that's why the movie does the back and forth thing. But the movie does not do a good job of explaining that at all.
I didn't know about that at all until I was reading the description of the original book. Yeah.
It didn't do a good job explaining a lot of things. I think they rested a lot of it on the charisma of the actors and the gorgeous and animation. The right. Which again, top notch. I think the difference between this and Mad God is at least the beautiful visuals in this, at least you could follow a plot. It wasn't always strong, and it didn't always make a lot of sense, but there was a plot, you understood.
It's there.
Yeah. I really, really did love the visuals. I think this is one of the prettiest animes I've ever seen. And it wasn't done in that over-the-top anime style. It was very subdued. This felt great.
Studio Ghibli has a style, and they stick to it, even though you complain.
Oh, they sure do, Hunter. Yeah, something you didn't get to see, by the way, is that the character art in the film, all of the characters in all of his films look the exact same. Every single one.
The biggest complaint.
Yeah.
So importantly, you said this is all I've seen. I have pointed out before, I have seen Kiki's Delivery Service. It has been well over a decade at this point. But I have seen it.
Right.
So I did kind of know going into it. I can remember what that character sort of looked like. I'm like, oh, okay, it's the same style.
When we watched the film, I told Lindsay as soon as Sophie popped up, I was like, oh, I loved her in his other films. You know, she's a great actress. She's great in this.
So one thing I am gonna highly praise, because I mentioned earlier that I also really like the visuals. I don't think anybody looks at this movie and goes, well, it's not animated well. Like, you're never going to get that for a Studio Ghibli movie. But what I say, Ghibli, it's Ghibli, isn't it?
You're good.
I don't know. One thing I really did like about it, and I've heard this to be the case, and I was pleased to find out that it was true, is the way that they, and it's not just the animation, it's the sound again too. The way that these guys do water is always really impressive, and the way that they do food. Breakfast scene.
Yeah.
The breakfast scene, full blown, made me hungry, and I had already eaten supper. Like, I was not even close to being hungry.
Like, they're making bacon
and eggs, and I was like, I want every bit of that. I want all of it. You could see the grease in the fucking pan. The sound effects, I'm getting my mouth is watering right now talking about it. Breakfast, like, look, old school breakfast is like one of my favorite meals of all time, bacon and eggs. And it killed my grandpa. It's probably going to kill me too at some point. But that was one of those things that I literally stopped down and went, okay, I'm in. If more of the movie is like this, I can get into it. And then unfortunately it wasn't.
Well, I would watch
a solid hour and a half of just somebody living in one of these worlds without all the, like, villainous evil plots and stuff, just going about their lives, fucking picking flowers, making hats, eating dinner.
Then you should have picked Whispers of the Heart.
The whole, the breakfast scene and her cleaning and her being a good, almost housewife, is why I strive so hard to find my trad wife. I'm looking for a Pina trad wifeski, and I am taking applications.
No one will get that except for the people who listen to this show already.
Nobody wants to be my trad wife.
Oh my god. Hey, why was she in love with Howl?
Because he existed.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the same reason that every female.
Hunter, I'm gonna tell you something. Like, it's the scene from Family Guy. A young Stewie Griffin is acting in a scene with Chris O'Donnell, and he doesn't understand why. He doesn't understand why he would take over from this guy. And the director, he'll never forget it. He told him, "You don't have to understand it. The character does."
The character does.
Wow.
There was one message that I sent to you that in quotes says, "But you don't understand. I love you." And I just wrote, "Why?"
What's like Last Unicorn when he fell in love with her and she fell in love with him because they existed. Yeah. This movies like this tricked me into believing that if you put a man and a woman close enough together for long enough, they will fall in love.
Sooner or later, that it's going not to the happen.
Case. It takes so much work and effort.
Maybe my favorite message I sent to you that I just would love to present out of context is the fire is eating her hair.
But he wanted to eat her eyes.
Imagine what I could do with your eyes. And I was like, who is this for? I don't understand.
It's a demon, I guess. It is the kindest hearted demon you've ever seen.
He's never really evil or mean.
And what exactly?
Kind of needy.
What was the deal he struck with Howl to eat his heart or whatever?
Give me your heart and I will power your castle.
Was that it?
Has he never
heard of a Volkswagen?
I really don't know.
That's pretty much it. I also forgot it. We already kind of said it, but I love the way that I phrased it here. I'll tell you who really fucks, though, is this little coughing dog.
Yeah, he's the best.
Okay, so I cannot find the image of it online, so you guys are going to have to deal with looking at the camera, but you need to see his original concept art, because he has a terrible little mustache.
That's not terrible at all.
Oh, God.
He looks very French. His face. Yeah, he looks very French. Yeah.
That looks like V from V for Vendetta.
That
but
looks,
a dog.
Yeah.
That looks like that dog's name should have been Antoine.
No, they went with the correct design. Although, and this is just, I mean, I could not pick a nit harder if I tried. He couldn't get up the steps on his own. But later on, he jumps down the steps out of the castle just fine. Yeah. And he also jumps like
okay, but
hear me out. He also jumps like 5 feet in the air at one point in time straight up. So you're telling me he just has no horizontal movement? Like he can't just shift it a little?
He could just be in there.
He's being lazy.
I liked the fact that he kept doing the little circle. Like he would always like.
I was
going to
say
that was
yes.
Cool. Yeah.
This is. I don't want to bring the mood down. But. In the last couple of years that Parker was with us, you know, he started to have those issues with his lungs. And so that's kind of the sound that he made. And we've often said, like, I'm so glad that he no longer has to deal with that. Like, when I get sad about not having him here, I often remind myself, I'm so glad that he's good now. He never has to hurt again. He never has to be uncomfortable again. That little pitiful wheeze that he had for the longest time, that little cough. But when this dog started doing that for a minute, I was like, ah, man, it's like he's right fucking here, because it's the same little sound. And so, yeah, immediately I was all in on the dog. It was the only dog I cared about.
I'll bring the mood back up here real quick. I am also glad that my ex-girlfriend's no longer in the pain of having to be around me. I'm glad that she, you know, that they all moved on and that they can cough and wheeze in private and not have to deal with that. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Mm. Well, I also keep forgetting that my camera's not on, so I keep making faces and putting my hand up, and then I realize, oh, right, my camera's not on.
Turn it on!
Oh, at this point. So...
Now it's his turn to be lazy.
I liked the witchcraft or the spells in this. I thought the magic was cool. There was cool magic in it. I love the door. I loved the castle itself, although it seems highly impractical for what he used it for. They seem to go into exactly two goddamn rooms in that giant moving monstrosity. What were the other parts of the castle for?
Well, and I, like, again, I'm being nitpicky, but I was a little confused about, I have a cool teleporting door that takes me anywhere I need to go. My castle also walks.
Constantly.
Why does the castle need to walk around if you can just go wherever the hell you want?
Constantly.
That cool little teleporting. Also, people constantly talked about, I have no idea where Howl is. I have to find him. Well, maybe look for the three-story walking castle in the countryside.
You've got
that
ships.
That appears to be the only one of its kind.
Yes, you have flying machines that go everywhere. You can't spot that?
No, they can't.
So confusing.
Maybe
as a cloaking device. It did hide in the fog a lot.
Sure.
Call her Stretch Armstrong.
I know. She... Okay. Any other comments and thoughts about the film before we get to the review?
You said it, but I'm gonna reiterate it. It's a beautiful movie. It's a beautiful movie. Visuals. The sound is incredible. If all it was, literally, if you just axe the plot completely and I just get to watch these characters do their fucking thing, I would have watched that for 2 hours and probably been more satisfied, frankly.
A romance story for me. Boy, it takes a lot to win me over in a romance story. I'm going to be honest. I am notoriously not, as much as I love romance, I am notoriously not a fan of romance stories. Clearly, I love While You Were Sleeping, but that is a movie dedicated to romance with quirky characters who you like and have believable storylines.
And you can see why those characters love each other.
I can see why they love each other.
That's the thing that drives me the most nuts when that's the plot. No part of me understood why either of these characters liked each other. Not in that way, anyway.
It was the same for Last Unicorn. It's the same for this. Other than the fact that they always talk about... They always talk about how gorgeous Hal is. He's so handsome. What a beautiful man and all that. And she's always talking about how unattractive she is, despite the fact that because of the animation style, she looks like every other goddamn woman in the movie.
She's plain, Shannon.
Boy, if that's plain, I can't wait to meet my plain trad wife. She
chooses to be.
She can put some eyeliner on and blow everybody's...
her hair too, or her house is worth it.
Hunter, she put some eyeshadow on. Everyone fucking dies because no one wears eyeshadow in that film or eyeliner or anything other than lipstick, I guess.
No.
Also, they completely.
They don't have any because of the war. They don't have it, Shannon. The war.
Well, that's why they. Did you notice how many characters had those big yellow onions tied to their belts? Because of the war.
Style at the time.
Yeah, you couldn't get a white one because of the war. Her mother who betrayed her, I guess. And they didn't follow up on that at all.
No.
And
then
she had to go because her car was waiting. She forgot about it.
Yeah, she left and said, "Take me to my man." And they were like, "Okay," and that was it. That was her story.
I'm sorry. Her reaction to seeing her daughter was, "Oh, you look so old." Well, anyway,
I married a new man.
Always had a complaint with that part of it. That part of the movie, I've always had a complaint on. I'm like, what is wrong with her?
Daughter, you went from your early 20s to 70s. Anyway, I got married again.
I think that's the thing that blew my mind the most was there's this world, right? And I love the idea of a mixed magic kind of world. Like one of my favorite fantasy settings to run if I'm running like a D&D game is that, yes, magic exists,
Hogwarts.
But most people are using... honestly, it's not a bad comparison. Yes, magic exists, but most of it is pretty mundane and it doesn't really do a lot of like crazy shit. And only a few people are really crazy good at it and they're usually off their rocker to some degree. I love that idea. Right. But this world, the magic was very confusing.
Yes.
Like, it seems to be only used for war, except when it's not. And also, some people can take it away from you. And also, some people are surprised by it, but some people don't care about it at all. But also, it's the most important thing, and it will turn you into a monster if you use it too much. Though it's not clear what exactly that entails. And also, if someone loves you, that will be fine. Don't worry about it.
You sell your heart to a demon for no reason, and that turns you into a monster if you use the magic.
A demon who also is apparently a falling star.
Who's also cursed somehow.
By the voice of Billy Crystal.
Never. It's just Mike Wazowski.
Okay, so with all of those points, let's get to the review. Can't wait to see this one. I'll go first. Despite all of the criticisms that I levied against this film during the show, I did like it. I told Hunter this. We were talking about it before. I did like it. The beautiful thing about movies and the beautiful thing about art is that it's subjective. So what one person sees and hates, another person might see and love. And because it's subjective and we are all in this to be happy, that's fine. That is the differences is what makes us human. I like this film. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I was never bored. I was never angry at it like I was with Mad God. I guess it's sad that a new bar that we set on this show is how much did it anger me? You know?
I'm going to say it up front. I really would be curious to see what you think of this movie when the last thing you watched was not Mad God.
That's fair.
I wonder if that would have a distinct
Hunter,
effect on your opinion.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
I mean, we did watch a different movie in between, but it wasn't animated. and it was his favorite genre. So
I'll reveal the secret because I don't have the heart to tell everybody that wanted to watch Late Night with the Devil that I watched it already. But I watched.
You already did.
Yeah. and it was good.
I think we're gonna watch it this weekend. My Shudder trial ends very soon, so I think we're gonna do that. Then.
You are the one I'm most curious about with that film because a big part of it is late night television. Like it's a big part of it. Sponsors, ads, stuff like that.
Love that.
And so
love that shit.
Watching it, I liked it a lot. I've heard some people didn't like it because they focus so much on the show. I actually like that aspect, so I'm curious to see what you think of it. So we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Sarah's very excited about it, so I think that is the plan, is we're going to try to make some time to watch it this weekend. I mean, I don't have time this week, the weeknights this week, but it's on the right. schedule.
But with this film, back to this film, as we're talking about Hayao Miyazaki's the house that couldn't stop walking. The castle that couldn't stop walking.
Hang on.
The
castle that couldn't slow down. I gotta go change the name real quick. The house that couldn't slow down.
I did.
It's a mobile home that's rolling down a hill with no brakes.
Really, gives new meaning to the term mobile home. Yes, Lindsay, I think Lindsay made that joke during the movie.
Because it got smaller. It was a moving castle, and then it's just a mobile home.
I still liked the film. I thought the acting was good, even though the script didn't always win me over. I thought the visuals were obviously great. I loved the idea of it, but it didn't always land everything for me. But I would be lying if I said, oh, I didn't like it. We are honest here. We try to give our honest opinions. So I'm giving this one thumbs up. I did like it. It's not my favorite film, but, and I was thinking about this, if I had to rank the four films we watched for Animation April, this would be at the top of my list. It would be this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This, yes. Then The Last Unicorn.
Without question.
Then The Point, and then Mad God way down at the bottom.
Yep.
That would be my ranking.
That's my same order.
Yeah. Yep. So this was easily my favorite film of the month. And I think Miyazaki is really good. I think he's a fantastic director. I think he's a fantastic visionary. Not everything is perfect, but who the fuck is, to be honest? I still enjoyed it. I think if you're an anime fan, if you're a Miyazaki fan, it's well worth watching. One thumb up from me. Hunter.
All right, so while that is the same ranking that I would do if I had to do that for the month, I'm going one up, one down here.
Oh. Not you.
And that's because you liked it. I can't go that far. I told you that as much. I don't know that. I think now maybe tolerate was too harsh a word still, too, because that's the thing. I didn't really like it, but I didn't really dislike it either. It was just kind of there.
Yeah.
This was a movie that if it was on in the background, I wouldn't be mad about it. Like, it's fine. That's whatever. Again, loved the visuals. Thought those are great. Loved the all of the sound in general. Just the sound design from the Foley to the soundtrack, the score, the cough of the dog specifically. I thought the acting was really good, all things considered. When it comes to voice acting, again, I'd love to have some professional voice actors. And I'd love to have something that is just frankly, I now see what it's like to have to deal with a dub. And I know that a lot of people have very strong opinions on that and subtitles and da 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 da. There were definitely times where I thought, oh, that's such a weird, I feel like you had to make a line fit there that just didn't really work. And maybe that's the big difference. I don't know. But I liked all of that stuff. However, I just didn't really care anything about the plot. You said that you really had like characters that you really liked and there were things that you really liked about it. And that's great. And I'm glad you did. I did not.
But not the plot. I did not. And I said that too.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't even really like enough of the characters to be able to say that. I mean, again, they were fine, but nobody that really stuck out to me as memorable that I'm going to want to go back to. Everybody, because the plot was so weird, I guess, for lack of a better term, so just kind of uneven and up and down, I just couldn't get into any of the characters. So I didn't leave this movie going, man, I really want to know more about this or that or something else. I don't really know what I'm supposed to take away from it other than love is good.
And war is bad.
And war is bad because this war is terrible. So that didn't do anything for me. But yeah, if you're here for the visuals, if you're here for the sound design, just generally the movie making of it all, that stuff's great. And I would never turn that down. Like I said, I'm not going to walk out of the room if it comes on, but I'm also not going to make a point to go do it. I told Shannon specifically, we've made the constant joke about being the anime expert. What I'm an expert on is knowing that I don't really like anime, and that's what it is.
And that's fair.
And if this is the extent of the anime that I watch, like, I still think going back and thinking about Kiki's Delivery Service, I think that's probably where it ends for me, begins and ends, and that's probably okay, because it's just not my thing, man. It's not for me. I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I gave it a shot, just to see. But
yeah, I put in the chat a college humor video.
I've seen this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you shared it with us a while back, too.
Now that you've seen, at least skip to the Howl's Moving Castle one, because I think you might have a new appreciation for the jokes in there. Like the scarecrow turning into the sword, the dog being one of the pilots of the castle mech. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. All right. Now that the two negative Nancys are out of the way, let's go to Lindsay, who is always a pot. And Lindsay, you be honest. If you love this film, you tell us you love this film, and that's your right.
I mean, I do love this film. I wouldn't have made it one of the options if I didn't.
Well, I made Mad God an option, and I don't love it.
Well, you didn't know any better at the time.
That's true.
They brought you in with a cool trailer and promises of awesome stuff, and it lied to you.
It lied to you very hard.
Yeah,
so hard.
So much.
Yeah. But I enjoy this movie. Yes, it has its own issues. Yes, the plot is convoluted, and sometimes some of us like to piece it together to make it make more sense. And now that I know there's actually a book behind it, I kind of want to go hunt down the book and see if it makes it make any sense.
There's not just a book. There's three of them.
Two.
It's a trilogy.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a trilogy, if I read correctly. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, I wonder when she put the trilogy out, because in the art book, it only says a sequel. So.
I think there are three. I'm going to find out for you.
But no, I love the animation in this. The animation nerd in me really comes out in Miyazaki films, because, like, the little things, like Heen running in the circles, like, just the little tiny nuances that things do in real life, as far as that goes, as opposed to just, like, not even over-exaggerating, but just, like, the little things. When Sophie first turns into the older version of herself, and she keeps walking outside and walking back inside, like, don't panic, okay, no, this is fine, you're all right, like, that physically moving, trying to get her thoughts together, like, stuff like that jumps out to me in these films. Like, as far as the confusion on the love plot, Miyazaki's not good with romance in his stories.
Okay.
He's good at with, like, coming of age stuff. He's good at action things. He's good at tragedy.
Again, I don't understand where the confusion is. One is a boy.
Always a little awkward.
One is a boy. One is a girl. Where's the confusion?
Well, he was also kind of a bird.
Unless they're already a pre-existing married couple, then he's okay. But, like, if it's been getting together, it's always awkward as hell.
He looked at Sophie and he said, I wish I were a bird.
Well, Hunter, he had muscles of... He had the body of men.
He had the wings of a bird, but the muscles of men. That's what you're going for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, Lindsay, there are in fact three. Not to interrupt your review here,
no,
but there
good.
Are three of them. So there was the original was Howl's Moving Castle, which was published in 1986.
Castle in the Air
was published in 1990, and then a book called The House of Many Ways that was published in 2008.
Okay.
I would be curious to see where the story goes, because I think The Last Unicorn, we talked about the sequels to that, having very little to do with The Last Unicorn, really. So I'm kind of curious to see how much it involves.
Let me save you a little trouble. The
God
plot summary from Wikipedia for Castle in the Air begins with, Castle in the Air follows the adventures of Abdullah, a handsome young carpet salesman from Zanzib who daydreams constantly about being a stolen prince.
I don't like that plot at all. I don't like that plot at all.
That's not what my thing says.
He tells the woman, Flower in the Night, that he is the stolen... That's her name, by the way. That he is the stolen prince of his daydream.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. So
I am.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with.
I'm less hopeful that they will explain things.
A bird. We actually have a clip from the Castle in the Air, real quick. This is from that.
America.
Hello.
Oh my goodness.
So not to spoil too much of it for you, but apparently Letty and Suleiman both carry over. Also, there is another character that carries over from the original, but I don't want to tell you in case you want to read it, because that's a spoiler.
Is it Turnip Head?
That's okay.
It's not Turnip Head.
It's
Sophie. There's a black cat called Midnight throughout it, and come to find out it's Sophie, and she's just pretending.
Because she's transformed.
Cat.
Ah, because she's a witch. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lindsay, you never did give us a rating.
I know I got sidetracked, but yeah, all in all, I would give it a one thumb up. Like I said, it's my third favorite.
Give it two.
The Miyazaki films.
Give it two thumbs up.
Why? I wanted to give it one. That's what I was going to give it before you guys even started ripping on it.
This is like that song Guilty Conscience. Don't give it two thumbs up. Give it one up, one down.
I gave it what I wanted to give it.
Well, I
if we had watched Kiki's Delivery Service, I would have given it two thumbs up because that one's my favorite.
I would have given that one also.
I need to go back and watch that again.
I love
it. I need to go back and watch that again because I wonder if I remember the first time we watched it, I really liked it. Sarah, I forget why she wanted to watch it, but she loved it.
I'll tell you what I would have given two thumbs up to is the Broadway or the stage version of Spirited Away. Because I loved that.
I love the puppets. They're so creepy.
There is something to me. I love theater. I absolutely fucking adore theater. And
then go with us.
Because I love weird theater. You know? I don't know.
We just watched Book of Mormon.
How
uncomfortable that was?
How do I describe this correctly? My favorite theater, other than Phantom of the Opera, because that is legitimately one of my absolute favorite stories, one of my favorite movies, soundtracks, everything. I love Phantom of the Opera. But I really love, I don't love anime, but I love anime when it's translated into live action. Like,
oh, the Sailor Moon, yes.
I love the Sailor Moon musicals. I can't really watch Sailor Moon anymore, but I love the musicals. They're so much fun, and the energy, the costumes. I love when cartoons translate to live action, and some people don't. Like, not just with the stage plays, but like Aladdin. I like the live action Aladdin more than the animated one. Okay. I'm like the only person that does.
We just went and saw Aladdin in December. We saw The Lion King the summer before.
Well, I'm talking about the movie version, though, because I've never seen the stage play. But I love the movie version. Mm. And I love the movie version. I like live action more than I like animation. I just can't get into animation anymore. But I love live action versions of it.
I liked the stage play of Aladdin more than I liked the live action version of Aladdin.
Well, it had some issues. But I mean, it had so many things I liked. It had Nassim Patrad. I love Nassim Patrad. I thought Will Smith did a great job. I love Naomi Scott as Jasmine. I thought Will Smith did an okay job.
You're already walking it back.
No, I really did.
I don't want to argue with you tonight.
I think it's unfair to compare Will Smith's performance in that to Robin Williams. That's just unfair.
Why? Same character.
Yeah, but different interpretation. Different interpretation. So.
But the whole movie is the same thing, so how can you not compare it?
That's fair, but I still think he did an adequate job. Like, I don't think he was as good as Robin Williams. If there's one thing I will say is better in the original.
In less than 3 minutes, it has gone from good to okay to adequate.
No, I still think...
That's one performance, not the entire film.
I still think he did well.
This is Dennis in that trampoline,
and it
was okay.
No, it wasn't disappointing.
It was all right.
It was good.
It wasn't great.
The Naomi Scott's performance as Jasmine, I think, is far superior to the cartoon Jasmine.
Arcade?
Yeah. Look, the liquor's kicking in.
I gotta go change somebody's name to the Arcade Jasmine.
Yeah, the liquor's kicking in. I really need to stop trying to make poignant points at this point. So let's let's get on with the ending.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. The witch returns Hal's heart, which, by the way, that part where she grabs his heart and she's like, oh, there it is. I found it. It's mine. I was like, God damn, this is why you don't bring the Witch of the Waste on board your fucking starship. Sophie places it back inside Hal, reviving him and freeing Calcifer, though he decides to stay because he's the world's nicest demon. Sophie's curse is broken somehow, though her hair remains white for some reason. After she kisses Turnip Head on the cheek, he returns to human form for some reason, revealing himself to be Justin, the missing prince of the enemy kingdom. He reveals that only his true love's kiss can break his curse. I guess, to be fair, it's his true love, not hers. That boggles
a little bit. He decided that. Yeah. Right.
After seeing Sophie's affection lies with Hal, he promptly heads for home to cease the war, but promises to see them again. He took that really well, by the way.
He really did. Oh, she's in love with another guy. Well,
that's cool. Well, I'm heading
home. I guess I can end the war now.
Sometime later, bombers fly into dark skies over a recovered and green countryside headed toward another war, while Sophie, Hal, and the others travel in the opposite direction of a new flying castle. As the castle soars away, Hal and Sophie kiss on the castle's balcony. And they also, Solomon, oh god, I missed that whole part. Solomon, watching through a crystal globe, decides to end the war. I skipped over that for some reason. Which I hated.
For a sec. for a second.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to talk about the rest of that ending either. So the bombers are flying off to another war, and Hal and Sophie just go, no.
Not Bye. Us.
Is that an option? Because the part of the huge, like a huge part of the plot this time around was Hal has to go when he's summoned for it. Well, if they're going to war, is he not going to be summoned for it?
Well, he refused the summon in the first place. I think that's why they were chasing him. He's an outlaw. That's why he's constantly on the move.
So we're just going to do it again?
Yeah, why not? No, she ended the war.
No, they were going off to war. That's the whole thing. It says the bombers fly under dark skies heading off to war elsewhere.
No, they were going. You misread that. It was going to the wharf. The wharf to...
they just wanted fish.
To get some fish for the planes.
Right, and Sophie is allergic to fish. Went the other way. Right, yeah. That makes sense.
So then Hal becomes the world's greatest magician. Sophie becomes his trad wife. And and Turniphead, I don't know, marries Letty. Why not? Then the film
ends. I think you're not too far off, actually. I think there's some version of the continuous. So in the third book, evidently Hal and Sophie have a daughter. She has trouble pronouncing T's. They felt like it was important to include that in the description. There's also another dog whose name is Waif, which I assume is him barking when he's French. Waif.
One thing I've learned is that especially if you like a stage play, never look up. If you love something that's like beloved, if there's a single film or entry that you go, man, I love that, never look when they make a sequel, because I made that mistake when they did Love Never Dies, which was the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, where Meg is in love with the Phantom. She ends up killing Christine Daae in the end by accident. It's what? So bad. Yeah, she shoots her and kills her in the end.
We've talked about it. Go Set a Watchman, the sequel to Kill a Mockingbird.
Absolutely.
Terrible idea.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, the stage play that they did. Tanner tries to defend that, and I don't understand how.
No.
Because for all the things that Tanner I disagree on, this is the one that I put a hard stop to and go, dude, nobody likes Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Like, it is legitimately
poor Potter fans up early. Do not like it.
Right. Like, it ruins a ton of the main characters. It takes the time travel thing way too fucking far. It's just bleh.
At least they didn't make anybody borderline racist like Go Set a Watchman.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right. Let's talk about this film. Let's get to the epilogue section. Apparently, there's three books, and Abdullah, the butcher, is in the second one, and he does some things, I guess.
With a woman named Flower in the Night. Literally the most stereotypical Native American name you could possibly give.
Yeah, they might have called her
hyphenated, like...
They might as well have called her Walks for Half the Pay of Man, or something. I'm just saying. If there's anything I would like to see more of, though, I actually would like to see more of Hal's adventures. I like this ragtag group of... I feel especially if you expanded on them. If you didn't just present them as is, but give them more meat. The kid, Marky... Markle.
Marky Mark.
Calcifer. Turniped. Turn him back into a goddamn scarecrow. I don't like him as a human. He looks weird. Make him a scarecrow again. Because it's unrequited. He turns back into a scarecrow. Have that group, except the Witch of the Waste. Fuck her. Disgusting. Disgusting old woman.
What you really want is Hal, Sophie, Calcifer, the dog, and Markle, and that's it.
And Turniped as the scarecrow.
And everything before they picked up the witch.
Yes. I just want to see their adventures.
You want the dog
whack comes along after the witch.
Of course.
He comes in there too.
Well, the witch dies from cholesterol. She eats a fucking donut and chokes on it for all I care.
From her stinky cigars and all the fatty foods.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it felt like there was going to be something there too, and nothing happened there. He's like, did you accept that cigar from the thing? And she's like, leave me alone.
You delicious man. Ooh, I want to suck you off next. Point is, I would like more adventures with those characters. So that's all I got. I can't tell you what, because I'm not Miyazaki or Laura Dern or whatever the name of the woman that wrote this is. So I would like to see more adventures of those characters. I did like those characters. That's a good RPG group. You got a good start. Now make magic happen. That's all I got. Hunter.
I don't know, man.
You just want to see the dog.
I just didn't like enough of this to really be able to figure out where it goes from there. Obviously, it goes into something fantastical. They go off onto their own little adventure there, Abdullah. Like you said. I don't know what that is. I would like for something somewhere to at least let Sophie do what she does in the novels, apparently, and actually become magic. Like, that would be fucking cool. I assume Hal tries to train her. She's not very good at training with him because he's still too arrogant. He's still too, bullheaded, basically. I think Calcifer's basically gone at this point, even though he's kind of sticking around, but sort of not. So
does he still have his powers at the end?
He's just not attached to Hal anymore.
Basically, they got separated again.
No, does Hal still have his powers? Or did he get them from...
He was magic before Calcifer, because he was training.
Okay. So what the fuck was the deal? Sorry, we already talked about it. I'm sorry.
So I would like to see like the difference between her trying to train with him, and then of course that's where your big bad comes in, and that it's just Star Wars at a certain point where they're like, hey, I can train you faster and better, you have way too much potential. That's the dark side,
and maybe
right?
he's and even like, no, more really. Handsome than Howell,
of course, obviously. No, it needs to be a woman. I think it'd be better if it was a female villain. And then, like, the big difference maker is eventually it's Markle, who's just like, no. Like, he's the unsung hero of the whole movie. He puts on his little costume, he becomes this weird little wizard guy, which I think is great with the beard.
That's cool.
Like, when he's just like, just a minute. Like, it's a little kid trying to do a deep voice thing is funny, and everyone falls for it. He's the only one who, it turns out, can actually train her, because he's the only one who's actually in this to be magic.
And like,
he really is just interested in being a wizard, and he actually loves her.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I bought that love, because that was a kid who finally had a parent who gave a shit about him.
Yeah.
I bought that. So when she said she loved him and vice versa, I bought that 100%.
So, to be fair,
to be the final takeaway.
To be fair, I want to say this. I think it's also believable that she would love Howl. Because she is, but not a real love way, in a toxic, manipulative way. Because here's a girl, if she really does believe herself to be so plain, and Howl is this enigmatic, gorgeous person that everybody loves, and he shows any interest in her, I could see her falling in love with him because of that. Because she's naive and she's innocent. But I do not see how Howl has any real feelings for her. That's the part that confused me.
So then I'm going to take it... I'm just going to make what I want out of it and not what probably would happen. I'm gonna, exactly all of what I just said, only in the end of the second story, she leaves him.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you're fucking toxic and problematic. And
she becomes the Witch of the Waste.
You need to be by yourself for a while to deal with your own shit.
Yeah.
And so she and Markle fuck off with the dog to live a happier life.
To leave Hal to actually learn a fucking lesson for once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And then if they do a third one, that's his redemption story. That's him coming to terms with, oh my God, I love these people for real. I got to become a better person. There's your fucking trilogy.
While he gets the movie, Sophie gets the Netflix series, and it's just 8 episodes of her and Markle and the dog fucking eating cheese and sitting by the river.
And turnip head.
It's what I just said I wanted. It doesn't have to be turnip. She just brings another scarecrow to life.
No, as long as he hops and he does the same thing, I don't care.
Yeah, that's fine. And he turns into a blade when he jumps upside down into the hand of the mech.
Well, then they fly the mech and they stop the war by creating more war. Lindsay, what about you?
Well, if we're doing the crazy stuff and Sophie's getting her magic, this is where we start the Ghibli multiverse and Yubaba. From Spirit Awake ends up teaching her how to use her magic, and seeing that she's the bad sister of the two witches, that's where you have the good and evil.
I have emptied my bottle of peanut butter whiskey.
When she gets her first spell book, it's delivered by Kiki
with
her little black cat on the broom. The little cat comes along too. I can't remember his name. Starts with a T.
And Ishitaka is there. Ashitaka, what was his name?
Ashitaka is the one.
It's fine. Porco's there. That's all I care about.
Porco. But yeah, I'm not
going to lie. Why is he a Pokemon?
Yes, he is a Pokemon.
It's that skin.
Porco.
It's that video, because he's a Pokemon, and then Spirited Away is Sailor Moon, which I love. Best in magic. Best. The alcohol subdues the depression.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. But only temporarily, and then it adds to the depression.
No, I'll wake up tomorrow, and then it'll happen. I'll tell you why I'm a little sad after the show. I don't want to say it on the show. Anyway, anywho, so that's it. That is Animation April, and again, I think the ranking pretty safely is Howl's Moving Castle was the best of the bunch. We all agree on that. Whether you loved it or hated it, it was still the best of the bunch.
Lindsay liked Last Unicorn better.
That's true. I did like this movie more than Last Unicorn because I think this one was a little bit more modern. And I think the modern animation and the modern characterizations spoke to me a little bit more. Although I did like Last Unicorn too. I liked both of those films. I did not like The Point because I didn't understand it.
Stand it. It made your head hurt.
So basically you
didn't get The Point.
Yeah, much like the Republican Party, I found no value in that. But I didn't hate it. I reserved that for Mad God. Boy, did I hate that fucking film. All right, well, that's it for Animation April. I still enjoyed the month. I thought it was a good month. I loved watching new films. Lindsay says I've seen this film before. She's a liar. I don't remember it, but it was still entertaining. What do we have in store for May?
May comes after April.
I can tell
April.
You July too, but May is the next one. So yeah, what's going obviously on May? We're coming up on May the 4th, and we've been talking about doing a big Star Wars retrospective. Yes. Boy. Now, I asked you this question yesterday, and you didn't respond, so now I'm going to make you answer it on the air.
Okay.
Are we doing one show a week to cover three movies at a time, or are we going to try to do a single show for every movie? Because that's a lot.
I like that idea of doing one show per trilogy, basically.
For each section.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a
good idea. So then the second question is, do we do it in historical order or do we do it in film release order?
Film release order.
In other words, so we're going to do the original trilogy.
Chronological or timeline?
Chronological.
Well, that's kind of the same thing.
I'm drinking this fucking peanut butter. Okay. And I know that. I get what you're saying.
In universe or IRL chronology is what you're asking.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Chronologically. So we'll start with 1 through 3. I'm sorry, 4 through 6, then 1 through 3, then 7 through 9.
So real world chronology.
I don't know. Does that sound confusing? What do you guys think?
I mean
that's how we all watched them originally. At least our group.
Let's do it number wise, because I think if we're putting it online, it's going to look better to do 1 through 3, then 4 through 7, and then or 4 through 6, 7 through 9.
In universe chronology, which would be prequels, originals, sequels, and then what we're basically calling the other stuff. Yeah,
let me give you a spoiler real quick. Tomorrow or next week is week one, and it'll be episodes 1 through 3. Maybe my mind will change based on rewatching them. But if I told you right now. One is terrible. I didn't like it. I like parts of it.
One's the worst of all of them, maybe.
Yes. Two is pretty good. I liked two. There were some good scenes in it I really liked. But what I'm saying is the good scenes, but not a great movie. Three, I think, is legitimately a good Star Wars film. I rank that up with my top ones. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Four, amazing. Five, amazing. Six, pretty good. Six is my least favorite of that trilogy because it's just silly.
Come on, man. You're putting it up against Empire and the original movie.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And then
hard fight to win.
Seven, good, but I've been there, done that. Eight, probably my favorite of the new trilogy. Nine, I fucking hate it. I think nine is the worst of the entire series.
I disagree. Only because I hate Phantom Menace so fucking much.
but maybe watching it again now, and especially in the mindset that we're in, maybe things will be different. We'll see. We'll find out.
That's a good question.
I know I have we'll a completely out. Different mindset after all of the Clone Wars stuff that I have like consumed since originally watching
it. And I think as an adult, especially now knowing, and this is going to sound weird, but knowing what Ahmed Best went through as Jar Jar Binks.
Yes.
I think that will change.
Makes a difference.
Yeah. It will change my view on Jar Jar.
Also, there's only one movie this coming month I have not seen, because in the miscellany and the last week, the Clone Wars.
I haven't seen
it either. So there's that.
Lindsay's
there's
one.
Rogue One and Solo.
It's going to be hard for me to go back to obnoxious Ahsoka.
Yeah, well, we'll
which
see.
I assume we need to watch in order, because it'll be the Clone Wars, and then I guess it was Rogue One and then Solo, right?
No,
Solo, then Rogue One. No, because Rogue One takes place right before episode 4.
No. I'm talking about, we're talking release. Oh, that's right. We weren't doing
release. No, we're doing it in storyline. Yeah. So yeah. Clone Wars, Solo, then Rogue
Clone
One.
Clone Wars,
which,
Solo, then Rogue
spoiler
One.
Spoiler alert. And maybe my mind will change again.
Release order was different, right? Rogue One came out first and then Solo.
Yes.
No, I mean, yeah.
Release was Rogue One, then Solo, but timeline wise, Solo, then Rogue One. And I'll say it right now, Rogue One is the best Star Wars film. I'll say it.
But I think it's it is.
I love that movie. I love that movie so much.
But
hey, maybe I'll change my mind. Like I said, let's rewatch them. Let's see what we think. I am open to changing my mind, obviously. So that'll be starting next week. It's Star Wars month on Podzilla 1985. We're going to do a whole thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. That is next month. But we're not done this week. Last night, Hunter, we had another fantastic edition of PZ85 Plays. It was the end of Act 1.
That's right, of the Deadlands game, a horror at Headstone Hill. Yep. And for the spoiler alert, for the first time there was an actual gunfight.
Fights happen.
Yes. So check that out. And then so we're for Plays, we're off next week, but we are coming back in May full force, and we're coming in full force. May with another Fallout one shot for the first time in a long time. May is kind of like Star Wars and Fallout month on this podcast at this point.
Yeah, because we're doing Fallout week. Amidst all the Star Wars madness, right? And then tomorrow, tomorrow's another big show. Man, what a great topic tomorrow. We're talking about our favorite X-Men in honor of X-Men 97, which if you haven't watched it yet, is really good.
I needed to stop making me cry.
We watched the newest episode today, and holy shit, I told Lindsay, man, they're doubling down on the fucking sorrow in this one.
My goal is to get caught up on that this weekend.
Also,
fingers crossed.
Hunter, you'll like this. I won't say what, but it's not only X-Men. They have expanded. They have other Marvel characters in it that aren't X-Men. So they are bringing different universes into it.
I think I did already hear about that. I don't know who they are, but I do recall hearing that it's more than just that.
There's at least two characters from other franchises that have appeared, including one of this one that was really cool. But anyway, tomorrow we're talking about our favorite X-Men. And most importantly, we're doing it draft style. Tell them about that.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going back to the snake draft. If you haven't, there were older episodes of 80, especially toward the end of last year, where we did like some snake draft style stuff. Basically, we'll figure out who's going in what order, and you're drafting a team of X-Men.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an effective thing to keep in mind. It's not necessarily just your favorites. It's who makes for the best team.
Because that's one big thing in X-Men all the time is they have all the different teams. X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold.
Blue and Gold.
X-Force. Right. Et cetera, et cetera.
X-Force is something.
So who will be our handpicked X-Men? And if someone else picks it, you got to pick someone else. If someone picks Cyclops, I will kill myself on the show.
You better hope you draw first, then.
You have to stop saying
I will kill myself live on the show. I'm saying it now. That's
I don't think anyone would be stupid enough to pick Cyclops before you could, even if they had the opportunity.
I hope not, because I feel like I'm the only one that loves Cyclops that much. You know what I mean? Like,
even if they know he's good Lindsay. As a team player and all that, Gambit. There's somebody else I can take, right?
I think Gambit is going to be a first round draft pick. He's the one that everybody's going to want to take. Everybody loves Gambit. Gambit this. Gambit
pretty much
that.
Everybody, pretty much almost everybody on X-Men 97, or like even the classic, you know, because it's a follow up, is going to be in that first round, I think.
Uh oh, I might be in trouble. Lindsay's showing us the Cyclops song. That's tomorrow. Until then, thank you guys for tuning in to Animation April. We hope you had a good time. We'll see you tomorrow for After Dark. Until then, the balcony is closed. We'll see you guys again. Hunter, please take us out. Hold on, you didn't pick it up. Lindsay, you try it. Get directly in the mic.
It did part of it.
Okay.
It did part of it.
It's only the first part. It just goes, and that's it.